It has taken me a while to feel that it would be constructive or helpful to talk about how mindful coping for me has really made a tremendous difference in how I deal with my own chronic depression. I've always been very upfront about the fact that I have struggled with chronic depression for most of my adult life and have tried a lot of different therapies for that and never was able to really find something that really would work for me in a sustainable way until I discovered mindfulness practice over 20 years ago. And when I first discovered it, what attracted me to it more than anything was that I didn't realize at the time what I was really trying to find was a way to actually not believe everything that I was telling myself, that I would not believe everything that my mind was thinking. Even though I didn't realize it at the time, much of what went on, between my ears, so to speak, was really the root of my struggle and how I saw my life, myself, my own self-image, my body image, my feelings about myself as a person, who I was, what I was about. All those things were very, very distorted by the depression itself. And really, to take it a step further, they were really distorted by my habits of mind, the way that I habitually, my habitual thought patterns, how I reacted to things that people said to me or did to me, or in cases where I thought that they were, but they really weren't. I thought people were doing things to me, but it was really not about me. It was really about them. And I always kind of figured that there would come a point at which I would have an opportunity. It's one thing to talk about chronic depression theoretically from a distance, in other words, to talk about it when you're not in the midst of a depressive episode. And for people who know about depression, who've either experienced it themselves or know someone who has, they generally, for the most part, know that this is something that is cyclical. There are, and depending on the kind of depression that it is, and not to overgeneralize, but there tends to be periods in which people are more high-functioning, they're feeling better about themselves, they're feeling better about life, and then there's periods where we're very low-functioning, and we're not feeling good about ourselves, or our lives, or who we are, what we're doing, and just really find ourselves in a place. And I know that different people act out in different ways in terms of how they try to cope with the way that they feel. And everyone has what I kind of refer to, it's not really a drug in the literal sense, but we all have our drugs of choice, the various habits that sometimes don't serve us very well. And I don't want to overgeneralize there again, because I know everyone is different. But I always knew somehow that there would come a time in which I would be in one of these episodes and be able to talk about it. And that day evidently is today. I have over the past, and the thing I want to emphasize here and stress more than anything is this, what I am talking about today is not about me complaining about what I'm going through. That's not what this is about. And I'm not saying that it's not good or beneficial or therapeutic to talk about how we feel or what we're feeling. It's just that I don't feel like this is the particular, vehicle for me to do that, or it's not really the point of this. The larger point is that I want to talk about, and I also do want to say, and all with full disclosure, I clearly have people that I feel, that I know, that I feel comfortable, that can handle it when I do need to unburden myself some, when I really need to talk about what I'm feeling. And that's something that I want to emphasize, that is so very important. And I learned the hard way that sometimes when we're going through things like this, that we tend to not realize not everybody can handle this. Not everybody is comfortable listening to us unburden ourselves with all of the suffering and struggling that we are going through. And everyone is a little bit different. Everyone has different dispositions. And it is really critical to, one thing I've learned the hard way is that it's so important to know that we're, when we're doing this, that we've got the right people that really want to be there for us that way. And they're not just doing it to be nice and nod their heads. I've had plenty of people over the years that I have done that with, only to find out years later upon more awakening, that, you know, more spiritual awakening, that, oh my goodness, I mean, this is someone who really did not really want to listen to all of my stuff, but, you know, they're just too nice. And there's a lot of people like that, and I think it's wonderful, but at the same time, I don't want to be a person that is causing unnecessary suffering for people who really don't really have the capacity or the desire or the heart to listen to me struggling and what it sounds like and what it is that I'm going through. I do want to say that this is my calling. This is what I feel like I, the most important thing, in addition to sharing in a very constructive and real way what I have struggled with, I also feel very called to be there for other people in this way, and to basically to love others and serve others and support others in any way that I can. I realize I'm just one human being, but this is really my calling and what I want to do. So I would say that if there's anyone out there that is struggling with chronic depression, struggling with situational depression, and is having difficulty, you know, with coping and with trying to figure out how to healthily cope with that, that I am always here to be a resource. I'm glad to offer any advice that I can. I can share any similar situations that I've been in. My door is always open. So I, and just being one human being, you know, I don't necessarily have a infinite resources, you know, at my disposal, but I am willing to be there for people if they are trying to cope and wanting to work the practice and, you know, in terms of mindfulness practice, and, you know, need someone to talk to along those lines that's been in these things before, that's been in the trenches, that's fought this fight before. I'm always available. My email address, I believe it's on the podcast website as well, is mindfulcopingpodcast@oficllcgroup.com. So I just want to say that. That's just kind of a what they refer to as a shout out. If there's anyone that is looking for resources, you know, I definitely am more than happy to do what I can in terms of sharing resources, any lessons that I've learned along the way. And that's really the whole idea for me doing this, is that this was never designed to be a venue for me to complain about my own stuff or my own struggles. I mean, there are appropriate venues for that, and I've never felt like that. I don't think that anyone really necessarily wants to listen to that. What I'm really trying to do is, you know, share my story in a constructive way. And I'm taking a moment, I hope it was okay to just reflect on that for a moment, because it really leads into what I was going to say about this. And that is that it sounds strange. I've had people tell me all my life, when I've explained to them that I suffer from chronic depression, the answer is usually always very similar. You know, it's, you know, Jeff, I don't see it. I mean, you seem like a very happy guy. You seem like you're very jovial. You seem like you're very lighthearted. And I can be that, and generally am that, because I don't really, first of all, that is who I am. I know that's my essence. And I will relay one story about this. I joined a depression support group probably about 6 years ago, and went for about a year. And I was very quiet when I first went. It was a fairly large group of people, and it was put on by the Mental Health Association in the city in which I live. And I met a lot of people who are very brave, who showed up to be in a group that were willing to talk really openly about what they were struggling with. And I definitely recommend, if anyone is struggling with that, if there are, you know, depression support groups in the area, if someone has not tried that, I'm not saying that it necessarily is the only means of support, and I'm not saying it's always the best choice for someone. I think everyone is different, and we all have different inclinations and different personalities. But for me, it was very helpful. But what was interesting about it was that I went, and it really taught me a very important lesson. Because my chronic depression manifests itself in me wanting to isolate. I've always been an introvert. I'm what's referred to as an extroverted introvert. So when it's time for me to interact with people, I can be on. And I usually have been told, in most cases, people that they can't even really see that I am struggling in any way. And I don't want to be disingenuous. I'm not trying to hide anything. I'm generally very open with people once I get to know them. I mean, I don't want to walk around and just share that with every person I meet. But, you know, I do want to be transparent in that I do struggle internally. There are times when I struggle a little bit, and there are times, like right now, where I am struggling a lot. I am having a lot of thoughts about a lot of feelings that I'm having. But when I get around people, I know this, and this is something that I cannot deny. The best thing for me to do if I am struggling is to be around people. And it took me a long time to learn that when I'm around people, I cannot wallow in my own stuff. It doesn't look good. It's not pretty. It is not something that endears people to you. Most people don't want to be around that. And I'm very long suffering and have a tremendous amount of patience. It doesn't mean I'm a wonderful person, because I'm a flawed individual like everybody else. I will indulge in a lot of that, but there even comes a point for me at which if someone is just totally wallowing in all of their stuff, you know, constantly, you know, everyone has their breaking point. Everyone, you know, can only handle so much of that. So I go to a group, and of course, you know, I want to be on my best behavior, but at the same time, I'm in a depression support group, so I'm not there to act like I'm okay. I'm not there to, you know, and I don't think anyone, I think we have to know where it's okay for us to not be okay, and that's not everywhere. That's not everywhere is a safe place for us to do that. But what was interesting was, after I spent some time there over a couple of months, I started opening up more. And it wasn't that I didn't want to open up and struggle, struggle openly, but it's that I wanted to really get to know people and find out when it was appropriate for me to do that, because I'd never sat with a group of people and shared what I struggled with. I might talk to one person at a time after I get to know them, but this was very different for me. And what I found was, is that people, you know, at one point I had several people in the group, after I shared a story about something I was struggling with, saying, you know, Jeff, we don't think you're depressed. You think you're depressed, but you're not. You know, look at you. I mean, you seem like you're happy. You were somewhat smiling when you were talking. You seem to be able to get up every day. And these are people that said this to me. These are some people who maybe go weeks without bathing, without going. I remember meeting a lady who was very, very sweet, who went months without being able to even open their front door and check the mailbox. I mean, I understand, you know, depression can be incredibly debilitating, and I don't want to trivialize any of that, but we all, you know, if we struggle with this or suffer from this, we do it at different levels. And I had people literally questioning, you know, Jeff, you clearly are a high-functioning person. You exercise, you take care of yourself. I mean, sure, could I lose a few pounds? Absolutely. But at the end of the day, and I don't see myself as the picture of health. I really don't. But for some reason, I had people questioning me and questioning whether, I mean, they weren't being mean about it, but it was like, you know, Jeff, I just don't see it. We don't see it. You know, you have your own business. You've been self-employed for 20 years. I mean, you know, these are things that we could not be able to do. And I was first taken aback by it, to the point that I thought about whether I wanted to continue going, because I really started to feel like, you know what, these are people that are really struggling. And here I am, I'm thinking that I'm struggling, but I'm not really struggling the way these people are struggling. I mean, I saw and heard stories that were things, stories of people who were just having difficulty doing the basic things that human beings do to maintain their lives and take care of themselves and their families. And I say all this because we all struggle at different levels. And I know that. And what has helped me as well is that, you know, being around people who are struggling as well has allowed me to put it into perspective. And while I'm struggling, I know always I'm not struggling nearly as much. There's always going to be people who are going to struggle more than I do, and there will be people that struggle less than I do. But I'm saying all this, now I'm getting to the point of where mindful coping fits in with all this. if I appear to be, if I'm able to talk right now, and when I tell you that, you know, and there again, this isn't this, this, you know, this, what I'm sharing is not about my pain or my difficulty, but when I tell you that I have had a week that has been tremendously dark, tremendously difficult, what I'm also acknowledging is that I have done that to myself. I'm not beating myself up. I'm not judging myself. I mean, there is a lot of debate about whether depression, and I think it is certainly been proven in several ways that it is a chemical imbalance. There are different theories about how this works. Some people believe it can be alleviated and quote-unquote fixed by medications. Some people have success with that. Some people don't. I was one of the people that didn't. So I had to find a way that would allow me to cope without, you know, making other people, you know, bringing along other people along my journey with me and having to hear me wallowing in my own stuff. And that's, you know, I ultimately searched for years to try to figure out some sort of practice, some sort of method, some sort of discipline that would help me not believe everything that I'm thinking so much. Something that would help me not take my thoughts so seriously, not take my own identity and who I think I am, and it results in me being who I think I have to be because that's who I am, right? I have to be that person. People are not going to know what to do if they see me being different than what I think I am. And at the end of the day, people are, you know, that love me are going to love me no matter what. And once I was able to find a practice that has helped me be able to cope, because that's the thing. I can't, you know, there are days, and believe me, today is one of those days. I would love nothing more than to hole myself up somewhere, completely shut up, not say a word to anybody, isolate myself, and live inside my own head. It's what I refer to, you know, when I write poetry, as my old family home. I mean, this is the refuge. This is the place that I would retreat to that feels safe when I'm feeling vulnerable and I'm not feeling good about myself and I'm feeling sad, I'm feeling broken, whatever it is. But these are feelings. And there's a lot of debate about whether our feelings are true or whether they're facts or not. I happen to think they both are and aren't all at the same time. I hope that doesn't sound strange. But I know that, you know, I do want to honor my feelings. I do want to be open and own what I'm feeling. But it doesn't mean it's the truth always. I may feel things, but I'm human and my perspective can be flawed. I don't always know the truth about everything. I don't always know what's right. So when I get carried away with a lot of obsessive thinking about what it is that I am feeling, it's going to lead me into trouble. I'm going to start reacting internally, possibly reacting externally. I'm going to heap a lot of unnecessary suffering on myself and most likely those that are closest to me, because they're going to be a part, you know, they're going to be near me in some way out of the context of, you know, having regular communication with me. And my negative energy can bring down other people as well as myself. And I have to have a way to cope. And this is really what it has boiled down to for me. I'd love to say that, you know, this is a, you know, meditation itself and mindfulness are these beautiful, wonderful, can be very esoteric practices that induce feelings of bliss. Sometimes they do. Sometimes they don't. Sometimes it's just us, and pardon the what I'm going to say, sometimes it's just us sitting in our own shit. It's just us sitting in our own stuff, you know, having to face whatever it is that we're feeling. And sometimes the only way to heal from whatever it is that we're sitting in is just to sit in it. It's just to sit with those feelings. And I'd like to say that, you know, that meditation and mindfulness are just this, you know, wonderful wellness related program for me. But at the end of the day, I'm going to be very transparent and very upfront about it. This is a way of coping for me. It's a very meaningful practice. I love it. It has helped me tremendously. I hate to think about where I would be today and where I would have been over the last 20 years had I not practiced this. But I know for sure I would not be talking about it this way. I would not be speaking about this subject in this way. And I'm trying to do it in a very constructive and real way. because I feel like that's really, really ultimately what is it is of any value to anyone else. And I want to hope that this is of value to others who either are struggling with depression, whether it's chronic or situational, whether they're dealing with some really difficult stuff in their lives, or whether they know someone or are close to someone who is. And maybe they're struggling with a way to help them and they're not sure what to do. They're not sure how to help them or if they can help them. Maybe they feel helpless. Maybe they feel completely disempowered and don't know what to do. That this will be a way to help them, because sometimes we can't fix it for other people. The best thing that we can give them, the greatest gift we can give others who are struggling, is a self of ours that ultimately can cope. I can't really alleviate any suffering for anyone. I can't really be there for anyone unless I'm willing to cope myself. And that has really been where mindful coping has helped me, because it has allowed me to turn whatever it is that I am struggling with into just, you know, thoughts that I've been having. It's, you know, I don't have to take them all seriously. They are not, the thoughts that I'm having about the feelings that I'm having are not always reality. The reality is what we're able to get in touch with when we are supported by a practice that allows us to begin to see that, you know, what we think is happening is not always what's happening. What we're feeling is not always the truth of what's going on. If we're able to utilize mindful coping in order to be more aware of when there is a difference or a break between what we think is reality and what reality actually is, the reality of what's really going on in the moment.